All right, is everybody ready to get in the Word of God today? Okay, I want you to turn to the book of Ruth. Turn to the book of Ruth. And this small book of the Bible has four chapters. And I feel like that how we're going to do this is we're going to take a chapter at a time and go through this every Sunday here in February. This is a book of love. It's a great love story between Ruth and Boaz. It's a story, and then there's also a mother-in-law involved. How many thank God for your mother-in-laws? Amen? Yeah. My mother-in-law is in heaven, and I can't wait to meet her one day. But there's the story of love, loyalty, and redemption. It's all through this whole story. And if you've ever read this book, I'm going to give you go ahead a little bit into the chapters here, but Ruth was a gleaner. She gleaned in the harvest fields of the stuff that was left over in the corners of the field in Israel. She was a gleaner, and we'll get to that, not today. Probably, I think we get to that next Sunday. But so, with a Bible pun intended, we are going to glean a lot of wisdom from the book of Ruth. Luke got that. I think Luke was the only one. We're going to glean a lot of wisdom from Ruth. All right, and the title of today's message is, if you're taking notes, the title of this is Bad Decisions and a Good God. Bad Decisions and a Good God, and I'll explain that as we go along here. But let's go to Ruth chapter 1. I'm going to go ahead and read this just because it's only 22 verses. We're actually going to read the whole book of Ruth during this series together. And I encourage you to go home and reread it and study it for yourself. In verse 1, it says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem, and I'm going to read it. You can get in your Bible, read it along with me. Then we're going to go up here on the screen, and there's going to be some scriptures that I will highlight through this passage or through this chapter. It says, and a man from Bethlehem, let's start all over. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth, and hence the name of the book Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. And when she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of the people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, we will go back with you to your people. But Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Naomi was getting older in age. Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. And even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait around until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has gone out against me. At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. And that was today's scripture that I sent out to everybody. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, can this be Naomi? Don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. I thank you for this small but powerful book. And God, there's lots of wisdom in this book. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to teach through me this morning, to reveal the nuggets, the gold, the wheat, the good stuff that's in this first chapter of Ruth. And God, I pray that you'd give us all ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to each one of us. And God, that we'd be doers of that word, whatever it is. And so God, I just thank you and praise you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So give you a little background about Ruth. Just this little Bible trivia for you. So it's a story of love, loyalty, and redemption. It's one of only two books in the Bible that was named after a woman. The other one is the Book of Esther. And you may need this in some Bible trivia game that you do as a family someday. It's the eighth book of the Bible. It's during the time of the judges. And we're going to read a scripture here in just a second about that. It's a very personal book because the thing that God wants you to hear from this book is that God cares for each person individually. He cared for Ruth. He cared for Naomi. He cared for Boaz. And those are the three main characters in this story. And as I was studying this and thinking about this, I'm going to tell you, I was reading a book last week, how this came about. I was reading a book last week, and it brought up about the book of Ruth and the story of Ruth and Boaz's relationship. And I thought, man, that's powerful. And then I started thinking as a pastor, okay, we're coming into the month of February, the month of love and relationships and all that. And then I spoke with somebody on Monday evening, and they was telling me that they said, I like that song, I Am Redeemed. And when they said that, it just went off in me. They didn't know what I had read earlier, but the whole book of Ruth is about redemption, is what it's about. So that's kind of what drew me into the book of Ruth for us, and I feel like it's a right now word for all of us. But as I was studying this, I was like, okay, who wrote the book of Ruth? And because it never does really say. And some scholars think that Samuel wrote it, but then I read something that some scholars say, well, he was already, that was before his time, or he had already passed. I can't remember all the things that they were saying. And then I came across something, and I kind of tend to this, even though we don't have, but somebody said, no, Ruth wrote this. And she wrote it during Solomon's reign, and because that reign was the golden age of Hebrew writing, and it was this book is basically her diary or her testimony of the story of her life. And I just, when I read about that, I was like, that really bears witness with me that this was a book that she wrote because she named it Ruth after herself. And so let me show you. Is that not turning, guys? We got to be able to turn. Carrie, I don't know what I'm doing. There we go. Here we go. It went. I turned it off and back on, so maybe that helped. All right. Now, to get into this story, the Bible or the book before this book is the book of Judges. And Judges ends, and it tells us that in verse 1, that it's the day in the days when the judges ruled. So I want you to look at verse 25. This is the last verse in Judges. And to get you into this day and time period and what's going on in this day, what's going on in this culture, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. There was no King David. There was no King Solomon. This was, people weren't even looking to God as their king. They were looking to themselves. And so they would appoint judges. A judge would rule for a while. Then the people would get away from God. And it was just back and forth. If you ever read the book of Judges, it's back and forth like this. And it ends in verse 25, and it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everybody see that? Does that sound like today? A lot like today. And so we go into the book of Ruth in chapter 1, and I'm going to go to we're going to kind of break this down a little bit and glean some nuggets out of this book. But verses 1 and 2 says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. Everybody say famine. So there's a crisis going on. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites. Sometimes I get that word mixed up. From Bethlehem in Judah, they went into the country of Moab and remained there. Okay, Bethlehem, this is the first reference of Bethlehem, and Bethlehem is not even it's not even thought of as the place of, you know, the birth of Jesus yet, none of that, but it's mentioned here. Bethlehem means house of bread. So out of the house of bread, if you know the story, where did Jesus come from? He came from Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. The bread of life came out of Bethlehem. And the bread of life came out of Bethlehem to a starving world spiritually. And so here we are physically. We're having a famine in the land. And this man of Bethlehem, Elimelech, is wanting to take his family out of Bethlehem and wants to go to Moab. So I want you to see that. But here's another important point. It says two times in there. It says that he wanted in Bethlehem and Judah went in verse 1, sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And then the last verse, verse 2, it says they went into the country of Moab and remained there. I think he started off, sojourn means basically a visit. He just wanted to visit for a while until this famine passed, but he ended up remaining there. I want you to remember that. Now, to give you a little background to this, Elimelech, if you're taking notes, his name means this: God is king. Everybody say, God is king. God is king. Naomi means, her name means pleasantness or sweetness. So once you get this picture of Naomi, Naomi is a sweetheart. She's not the mother-in-law, the typical mother-in-law that we talk about that's, you know, we always, the mother-in-law jokes that, okay, she is a sweetheart. She is an awesome woman. All right, I want you to get that picture. You got to have that picture of Naomi. You can't have our picture in society of when we all hear the mother-in-laws, we all think of the horror stories and stuff. Then they had two kids, two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Now, if you're thinking about naming your kids these names, I just want to give you what their names mean. Everybody ready to laugh? All right, their names mean sickly and wavering near death. Yeah, great names for your sons, you know. It's like, here's swine flu and here's Ebola right here, you know. But the other thing about Moab, when they left Bethlehem, which is the house of bread, this is where their people lived at, and it says that they lived around Bethlehem. It was kind of like the Ephrathites, when they said they were Ephrathites from Bethlehem and Judah, that's kind of like talking about that, you know, we live in Leedy, but we're in Dewey County kind of a thing, okay? So they lived close to Bethlehem. And Moab is a pagan land. Moab is only 40 miles away, so it's not too far away. It's like from driving from here to Woodward. But Moab is a pagan land. Moab means that they did not believe in God. They worshipped other gods. They worshipped demonic gods. If you ever study about the Moabites, they sacrificed their children, to their gods. It was a horrible place. Then these people were bent on, they didn't want anything to do with the one true God of Israel, like Ruth did. Now, Ruth was a Moabitess, but she followed Naomi's God. Isn't that good? And if you know this whole story, Ruth is in the lineage of King David and also in the lineage of Jesus. And so it was because she left Moab, pagan land, and followed Naomi's God, the one true God. But when it says two times, it says that they went to Moab, which was only 40 miles away, like I said. Elimelech, talking about a man of God who knows the Lord, knows the one true God, he decides that he's going to take his family, and he moves 40 miles, And here's what I want to tell you about this move. This move caused his family to be out of God's will and out of God's provision. This can get serious for a little bit. Everybody ready to get serious for a little bit? This whole story ends good. And here's the thing about this. He only had to move 40 miles, and here's what I want to tell us all, and me included. We don't have to go very far to get out of the will of God and out of God's provision in our lives. And he does all this, and the Bible never does mention that he went to God to do this. He just decided that this was a good decision. We're starving in our homeland, and to keep my family from starving, I know 40 miles from here, they're eating the good of the land. We're moving. But he never seeks God. In the natural, it sounds like a great plan. But in the spiritual, it was not a good plan. And so he decides to do this because it seemed logical to move. It seemed like a good decision. But here's what Elimelech did. He did what was right in his own eyes. He lived in the world. We're supposed to live in the world but not be of the world, right? He was living in the world and a part of it. Because what we'd read in verse 25 of Judges 21, it says, in those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. Culture was affecting him. And here's the deal. Culture can affect us as Christians today. We got to put up boundaries and guards and not let this junk in. There's a lot of junk going on outside of these four walls. We've got to stand up to what's right. We got to put boundaries. We got to teach our kids right and wrong. Everybody said? Amen. We're living in a day and age where everybody is entitled. And it's getting worse and worse. I'll just tell this story. I feel it that I need to tell it. Last night I went to the ball game, and I got me a walking taco. Okay, Leedy knows how to make the walking tacos, man. I'm talking this big old Dorito bag. They're good. Carrie, y'all do good. It's not the little Dorito bag. It's the bigger one. It's the right one. And so I got that, and I'm like, man, I am ready to chow down. I got that, a bottle of water, got some popcorn for afterwards when I go up in the stands and watch the game. And the girls' game was still playing. And so I thought, well, I'm going to sit down here and eat. Jade and I sit down. Jada got the vision of all of this happened. And I go up to the deal because they have this little, the tables up there where you get the picante sauce and how you want to fix up your Indian or your walking taco. And I walk up there and I'm standing there and I pull out a drawer to get my fork. And this little kid, I don't know how old you think it was, seven or eight little girl, goes right, I'm talking right in front of me right here. And looks up at me like disgusted and gets a drawer and gets her own little fork and takes off. And I just stood there. And I was like, I want to bust your butt right now like that. And Jada, I hear Jada giggle. I look over at Jada, and she's just dying laughing. And guys, we laugh at that. And I laughed at it. It was cute. But that's what's going on in the world today. And if that would have been me when I was growing up, my dad would have tanned my hide if he'd have saw me do that to an elder. And that's the kind. And I just told Jada later, I was like, that's what's going on in this world. And that stuff is seeping in everywhere, and that entitlement and all that. And guys, everybody's doing what was, she thought that was right in her own eyes. I can just cut right in front of him and get what I need and get out of here. You know, that was right in her own eyes. Everybody's doing right. Did that make sense with this message? I need to get that off my chest. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So I wanted to do what was right in my eyes, too, and that was Spanker, but we didn't do that. But here is what Elimelech should have done. He should have stood on the promises of God for himself and for his family. All right. Now, I'm going to show you these scriptures. Psalms 33, verses 18 through 19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. God had made a promise to his people, I'll keep you alive even if there's a famine in the land. Psalms 34, verse 9 says, O fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The fear is mean a reverential fear, that you, God is holy. I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. I'm not going to do everything that I think I ought to do. I'm going to listen to God and do what he says to do. Everybody got that? Okay, Psalms 37, verse 25 says, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed or his children begging for bread. So these are the promises that Elimelech knew. Even though he might not have the book of Psalms, these were things that the children of Israel knew about God, their relationship with God. God is not going to let you down. God's going to come through. You know, listen to him. He'll take care of you even during famine. But here's what happens. He makes a bad decision. It looked right in his eyes, but he makes a bad decision, and he moves to Moab, which is a pagan land, and it was only 40 miles away. And here's what I want to tell you. Bad decisions always affect others. It's not just about you. It affects other people. God decisions affect generations. The older I get, the more I want to make the right decisions because I realize it's not about me. It's about my kids. It's about Taya. And now that I'm getting older, and I had somebody tell me the other day, man, you're getting old. You got gray in your beard and you're starting to get gray in your hair. Like, yep, I'm getting older and wiser. But I'm fixing to be a grandpa, and now I'm already thinking about my grandson, Jarek, that I want to be making good, godly decisions to affect that generation. Not just Taya's, but that generation. God thinks generationally. But we live in a day and age where everybody thinks about themselves in the here and now. They're not thinking about that. There's a lot of people that live today that don't even think about their own kids. They just think about themselves. Some of us have parents like that, you know. And God can, and here's the deal. This story is a story of redemption. You can start at any time. And God can redeem the past, the bad decisions that you made in the past. That's the whole story of Ruth. And so I just wanted to give that to us parents today, that we're training up the next generation and the next gen. You know, I'm sitting up here now. I'm thinking generationally. The older I get, the more generationally I think, because I've got Taya and now I've got grandkids coming. Yeehaw, I'm ready to be a grandpa too. I'm looking forward to that. But I feel the gravity of making the right decisions. And I've already pictured myself, you know, I'm going to have fun with my grandkids. I'm going to spoil them. But I've already pictured myself, you know, praying over them. I've already pictured myself laying hands on them. I've already pictured myself playing catch with them and telling them there's more to life than baseball. I've already pictured myself going out and hunting with them and talking to them about the Lord. You know, all those kind of things. I've already seen myself doing that. And you need to see yourself doing that. And here's what, when I was preparing for this message, here's what I felt like, and I put this on social media this morning, too. This was the burden that I have. Anytime, you know, when you preach and teach the Word of God, some of you in here have done this, and you know, it's not just like getting up and giving a talk. God gives you a burden for the audience that you're going to be speaking to. And so I have a burden today, and here's my burden, and it's twofold. My burden is this. Some of you here today are making decisions, but you're leaving God out of the equation. And God wants to keep you from making a bad decision. So he's saying, include me in your decision-making process. And my plans may not be your plans. Surrender your plans to me and let me lead and guide and direct you. So that's one burden that I have. The other burden that I have is that some of you here today have made a bad decision or more than one in the past. And here's the deal. God is good and he can redeem. God is good and he can redeem. Thank God for that. So that's my burden today. Now we're going to go on down through this story and gain some other wisdom here today. Verse 3 says, but Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died. Okay, he went to Moab. He died and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. Okay, this was a no-no. They shouldn't have done that. It ended up, God redeemed it. Okay. But, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that here in just a second to the young people that are here. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Okay, it's a tragedy. This is loss like no other. Naomi has lost her husband and her two sons, and all she has left are her two daughter-in-laws. Now, I want to show you something in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3. They knew this. Okay, they had the book of, you know, the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses. Deuteronomy 23:3 tells them, no Ammonite or Moabite or any of their descendants for 10 generations may be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. That's strong language, isn't it? Basically, that's telling you don't get around them, don't hang out with them, and don't, for sure, don't marry them. And you might be saying, okay, well, God, but in this story, Ruth becomes a believer. God loves all people. God loves all people. But listen to me. God has set up boundaries for our protection. All right? So I'm going to talk to the young people in here and even some people that, you know, maybe you're trying to find a mate. Don't date somebody that you don't want to be. Don't date, how do they say that? When you go on a date, make sure it could be your mate. And if you don't see yourself with them as your mate, you don't need to be going out on that date. Don't date or marry an unbeliever. Don't like say, I'm starting an evangelism of dating. And I'm going to be dating unbelievers and I'm going to try to convert them. That don't work. It don't work. Believe me, I've been in pastoral ministry, been here for 19 years. I've been in pastoral ministry for 25 years now, and I have counseled lots of people that they could have saved themselves a lot of heartache. They could have saved themselves a bad decision if they would have just listened to God's word. Because even in the book, in the New Testament, it says don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. There's a reason for that. God has set up boundaries for our protection. Here's another one. Don't date or marry out of loneliness. Are you hearing me? You hearing your pastor? Don't date or marry out of loneliness. Farmers Only, God has it down. They understand that people out there are lonely. You don't have to be lonely at farmersonly.com. And all of a sudden, click, 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 all over the nation. Because we laugh at it. I laugh at it too. But guys, there are lots of lonely people out there. And then they get on there and they find just anybody to talk to. They get together and they don't know one thing about them. One thing. Can God work through farmersonly.com? Can God work through some of these dates? Yeah, he can. But I'm just saying, but you have got to use God's wisdom and you've got to include him in that process of praying. Because I'm trying to keep you as your pastor from making another, and God is trying to keep you from making another bad decision. That's why there's the Ten Commandments. God told us don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, you know, adultery. Here's another one here, because I know we have some young people in here. Honor your parents. And then the Bible says, the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, you honor your parents. It's the only commandment that has a promise attached to it. It says you'll live long on the earth. How many of you want to live long? Dallas, you want to live long? She's over going, yeah, I want to live long. You know, honor your parents. I just had to point out one young person in here. Honor your parents, because I know this is a strong message, but guys, it needs to be taught. It needs to be preached. It needs to be taught to our young people. You don't cut in line on a dude getting his taco. It's Taco Sunday. Oh, God. I should have titled this message Taco Sunday. Honor your parents. There's reasons why God has set up boundaries, and it's for our protection. It's not that God's trying to be stingy or he doesn't like to have fun. And no, he wants you to have fun. Life is fun. Being a Christian is fun. But when you get caught up in these other things, it can cause a lot of damage and a lot of heartache to your life. And God loves you more. He's saying don't do that. Don't do that. Listen to me. So every, you know, date, whatever it is that's going on, God wants to take the small things and the big things, and he wants you to take them to him and say, God, what do you want for my life? All right. Here's a scripture, and I'm going to say another story. There is a way that appears to be right, but the end, it leads to death. Proverbs 16, verse 25. There's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. I'm going to say this for some young people in here today, too, and some older people. I was back when Taya started dating, and I was, you know, we were trying to teach her and do things. And we had open lines of communication with Taya about dating. And there was one time that her and I kind of got into it a little bit. And we was playing catch down at the softball field. So thank God nobody heard it. But we got into it. And daddy and daughter butted heads. And she was dating somebody at the time. And I knew this is a hard thing as a parent. And I knew that this great young man, but it just wasn't the right one. I just knew it for her. But I was praying, God, show it to her. God, show it to her. God, show it to her. God, I'm going to help you out a little bit. You know, that's the daddy. And there's sometimes that you have to do that. And we had to talk about it. And here's what I found out through Taya. She had a fear, and she wouldn't mind me sharing this today, but she had a fear that I'm not going to find somebody else, even at that age. I'm not going to find somebody else, and I need to settle for this one. Even though down deep in my gut, I even know it's not the right one. I said, well, then Taya, that's not. And then she's seeing and hearing about some friends and you know, that are dating and getting engaged and going to get married, and so that puts that peer pressure. And I said, honey, you know, God's got the right one for you. And believe me, you know, if it's not till you, age 30 till you get married, it's okay. Age 35, it's okay. But she's thinking, Tay's like, okay, I'm about to graduate. I got to get married. I got to do this. Got to go. All these little things are going on. I'm like, Taya, just slow your roll, baby. You know, God's got it all planned out. And then she had to go through the deal. I just don't want to break his heart and all these things. And she ended up doing what was right. And that young man went on, and she went on, and you know, and then here came Cameron, was everything she'd been praying for. And so I just felt like I had that not in my notes to share today, but I felt like I needed to share that for somebody here today, because God doesn't want you to make a bad decision. God doesn't want you to make a bad decision. All right. Everybody getting something? All right. Here's Ruth chapter 1, verses 6 through 13. It says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. This is the greatest thing that could have ever happened. Naomi decided to return home to the land of Judah, which the land of Judah means praise. She decided to leave the world and go back to praising God. This is what she decided to do. Had she just stayed where she was at, the book of Ruth wouldn't have been written. So she made this move. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, no, we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? This is the tradition of the day that, you know, that they would marry another son, but she doesn't have any more sons. Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I'm too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Now, here's what I want to tell you. We're going to switch gears here for just a little bit. What Naomi starts doing, even though Naomi is a Christian, she's a believer in the one true God, what she begins to do is to blame, and I guarantee you she was in on the decision-making process of moving, but she begins to blame God for her move, for her decision. God's doing all this. No. Nope. God is good. Everybody say, God is good. God is good. But here's what I love about God. God understands Naomi. God understands us when we start doing that to him and blaming him. Now, so we all know that God is good, but Naomi is blaming God. Now, in verse 18, it says, and when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Like Ruth, she's determined. She's coming with me. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, because they hadn't seen them in 10 years. And the women said, is this Naomi? And she said to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Everybody in on her pity party right now? I'm telling you, I mean, and she, rightfully so. I mean, she has lost a husband and two boys. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? Here's something about Naomi, and I've seen this happen in my own life. She had a wrong view of God, and her perspective on life is horrible. And rightfully so with everything that she has been through. I mean, we could all justify it and everything, but it's still, we could justify it, you know, and say, Naomi, you're, but it's still not right. But here's what I love about Naomi. She didn't come back to the land of praise. She didn't come back to church and put on a smiley face. She came back to church and let people know, this is what's really going on in my life. What I love about Naomi was she was completely honest. She didn't hide anything back from God or anybody else around her. So I appreciate her honesty. And you know what? I think God did too. Even though he was getting blamed for it, he appreciated her honesty. And here's what I want to tell you today. If you're in this boat where you've made a bad decision, you're blaming God, you know what? It's okay to not be okay. God understands, and even with Naomi, God understood where she was coming from. He knew the hurt and the pain that she was going through, and he was just like, just throw it all on me. Blame me, blame me, blame me. Even though it was your bad decision that started this whole cycle, this last 10-year, this decade that you've been in, this one bad decision. But you know what? I love you so much, I'm going to take all that blame, and I'm going to redeem you. I just got chicken skin right then. That is how good God is. That is how good God is. And he was gracious to her, and he's gracious to all of us too. Because I guarantee there's been times I've blamed God. And then when I finally got quiet and got with him, he was like, no, Mark, I didn't do that. I'm good all the time. And here's another thing. Some of the things that we happen to us, we didn't sign up for it, and it's because we live in a fallen world. We do live in a fallen world. Now, here's Ruth 1, verse 22, and this is what I'm going to end with today. Has everybody learned something today? Everybody got something today? Ruth 1, this is how we're going to go through this whole book, just line upon line like this and get these nuggets out of it. But verse 22 says, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And I love this part. How did the first verse start with? What was going on in the land? There was a famine. And it says, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. They went from famine to harvest time. And when they come back, and we're going to look in this, Ruth chapter 2 talks about how the Lord began to bless Naomi and Ruth through this, the harvest and coming to know Boaz and all that. But they went from famine to harvest time. And I'm here to tell you today, this is your turnaround season. There's people in here, you need to hear that today. This is your turnaround season. You may have made some bad decisions, but God is going to redeem those, and it's going to be your turnaround season. Amen? All right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I pray that this, I know I feel like the Holy Spirit has ministered to you, and it's hit where you need to be hit at, I guess is the right way to say it. But what I want to tell you is whatever the Holy Spirit has spoke to you through this message, then the next thing you need to do is do it. Whatever he's told you to do, there may be some kind of action he's told you to do, or maybe it's a prayer, or maybe it's even in what I was saying that maybe you've been making a lot of decisions here lately, but you've just been doing it in your own wisdom and your own logic and your own understanding, and you need to start including the Lord in those decision-making processes. He wants to be included in everything, even from the smallest to the greatest decisions. He wants to be included. And then you just surrender whatever plans you have to him. Say, Lord, this is what I'm feeling. This is, you know, with the minds you've given me, with the wisdom that I have, God, this is, you know, I'm going to use Elimelech as a situation. This is what I'm saying. There's a famine in the land, and I don't know what to do. And I think that if an Elimelech would have done that, he would have probably just heard, trust me and stay put. Trust me and stay put. But God, in his grace, he's even when we make a bad decision, even when we get out ahead of God and make bad decisions, he's able to redeem it. He's able to restore it. He's done it in my own life. I've seen it happen. And I pray that I'm getting older and wiser and want to include God, and that's why I'm wanting to teach these young people, include God in all of your decision-making processes, especially in that decision of choosing your mate for the rest of your life. That is a huge one, huge one. And so, God, I thank you that you're ministering your word to everybody here today and how they need to hear it and how they need to apply it to their lives and their situation and the things that are going on. And God, I thank you that you're doing that over those that are watching by Church's Aid this morning as well. And God, before we leave today, I'm just wanting to make sure that everybody in here has made the most important decision that they've ever made in their life, and that is to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so I want to lead people here today, and those that are going to be listening to this on podcast, those that are going to be listening to this on radio, those that are watching by Church's Aid, I want to lead them in this prayer. And it's out of Romans chapter 10, where it says, to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So even if you're here today and you know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. I want Jada to come up here and join me, and I want everybody to stand up, and we're going to want to greet everybody before you leave today, but I want to speak a blessing over y'all and over your families today, because I believe in the power of speaking blessings and declarations, so I'm going to speak this over you guys today. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. Go read the book of Ruth and read Ruth chapter 2. Good to see you.